I titled this tonight, That Reminds Me Of. That Reminds Me Of. I want to talk to you tonight about spiritual lessons in everyday life. Learning how to develop a discipline and a habit, really even, of looking at the things in life that you see, you observe, you hear, you experience, and looking for the application or the illustration that that can be of spiritual matters. So that we're thinking spiritually, we're thinking in terms of God's Word, but we're looking for illustrations of it all around us. And several scriptures come to my mind when I think about this. One of them is Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Look at this. "Set your mind on the things above." Now, what are the things above? These are the spiritual things, the biblical things, the truth things that God has declared in His Word and things that we can understand that He's revealed to us in His Word. We need to be thinking about those things. So the doctrine, the gospel, the application of the gospel in our lives. This is what keeps us on track when we don't just think about spiritual things on Sunday morning when you're hearing a sermon or in a Bible study or at Sunday school. Keep seeking, set, fix your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth, earthly. I don't think that means like chairs and dirt. It's talking about worldly things, worldly principles and the world system. "For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, you also will be revealed with Him in glory." So we need to be setting our minds. So one of the questions we ask is, well, how do you do that? Well, certainly it's from reading the Bible. Certainly it's from meditating on God's Word. That's your primary way to set your mind on the things above. But I believe God has given us the ability to see life in the form of illustrations of what He has revealed in His Word so that we can be thinking, not just academically, not just the words, but the experiences of life and seeing how God has shown us those things in our life and in the world around us. So set your mind. Focus on Scripture and on the application of it. Romans 8 says this, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Notice that the difference between those who are fleshly minded and spirit minded is not what you don't think about as much as what it is what you do think about. So we are replacing the fleshly kind of thoughts with spiritual thoughts of the Spirit of God. "For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace." So one of the ways we can do that is by taking the everyday life happenings that we have around us to help us be mindful of biblical and spiritual truths and realities. Maybe it's an object that you see. Maybe it's a happening that happens in front of you or that you're aware of. Maybe it's a news thing you saw or a situation that has developed, a behavior you notice in people. Maybe it's a statement that was made and it caught your attention. Maybe it was a song you heard or a scene or a piece of nature or a phenomenon of nature, something in creation. And God uses it to remind you of a spiritual reality that you can set your minds on and enjoy, or to be warned, or to be protected, or to be excited about, or to be a point of worship, or just a confirmation of something that is true. Now, Jesus did this constantly. Constantly. In fact, if you go in your search engine on your computer and you put in the word compared, you'll find four places at least where Jesus used that word, at least in the New American Standard, where he takes a something everybody could understand, an object or a situation, and he compares it to a spiritual reality, or in this case, the kingdom of God. So here's some examples. Matthew 7:24. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them," his teaching, "may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock." Now, we know that is the illustration that Jesus gave of the rock and the sand. You build your house on the rock, which is the Word of God, on the sand, which is the shifting, changing culture around us. And so Jesus took something people could visualize, and he compared it. He made an illustration. It was an object lesson. And this is how he helped people set their minds on something spiritual by identifying with something they could relate to physically. Matthew 13:24. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field." In that agrarian society, everybody could relate to that, because most of them were subsistence farmers. They would grow things. They knew about farming. And so Jesus used that as an illustration of a spiritual reality to get their minds in spiritual truth. And then Matthew 18:23, "For this reason the kingdom of God may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves." And he tells the story. And Matthew 22:2, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding for his son, a wedding feast for his son," something that they could imagine. So think about some of the things in the Sermon on the Mount. You've got the birds of the air, the lilies of the field, and the, those two, the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. What was Jesus illustrating there? That God provides, right? The lilies of the birds of the air, they don't worry about where their meal is going to come from. God provides. The lilies of the field, they, you know, get their sustenance from God. The spinning and the sowing, they don't do these things. They don't have to work. They trust God. And so a spiritual reality from a physical object. Sowing and reaping, the lamp of the eye, the peck measure and the light. I've kind of imagined this a little bit. Jesus maybe is teaching, and let's say it's gotten dark and he's still teaching, which of course he did. And so there's this candle sitting there, or somebody puts a light there, and it happens to be next to a basket, a peck measure, that would have been common, probably laying all over the place wherever Jesus may have been teaching. And he looks over and he sees the light and he sees the peck measure, and he uses it as an illustration. He said, "Nobody would take this basket and put it over this light." And everybody would say, "Of course not. Nobody would do that." But it was there, possibly. I'm using a little sanctified imagination here. And so he uses what they are seeing to give them a spiritual reality that you don't hide your light, you shine your light. And then he gives his teaching on the matter. Salt, the speck in the beam. We were talking about that earlier with some of the guys here. What a visual illustration that was. Gates, narrow and wide. Fruit, good fruit, bad fruit. See, it's just everywhere. Matthew 16:3. I love this one. "And in the morning," Jesus said, "there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times?" He used a physical thing that they could all understand, and even probably a phrase that they understood. Now, in modern times, what do we say? Red sky in the morning? Sailor take warning. And Jesus would say, you know, you're smart enough to notice how the world works. How come you don't see how the spiritual world works and discern the signs of the times and take notice? And who knows how many people Jesus reached through this illustration. I love this one, Mark 9. Jesus sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Now look at this. Taking a child, so apparently there was a child nearby, and he's talking about a spiritual reality. He takes the child, brings the child over, maybe sets him on his knee, and he says, he set him before them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me." He went from a child to salvation in one sentence. Illustrations. Paul did it, 1 Corinthians 9. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." There's the physical, there's the spiritual, the imperishable wreath. of following Christ and eternal life. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. So again, a spiritual reality illustrated by a physical illustration. Proverbs does this a lot. Listen to this. There's just a few. Proverbs 25:12. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. People understood the earring in the ear. And he's saying, you have gold on your ears. You're concerned about your ears. You can be wise by listening, using those ears to listen to a reprover. In other words, somebody who's going to speak truth into your life and reprove you, even correct you. If you understand that you can adorn yourself with gold around your ears, why not use those ears to listen to someone who has something to say to you that's valuable? Oh, people can visualize that. Proverbs 25:26. Like a trampled spring and polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. Everybody could imagine a well that had just a little bit of pollution in it, and nobody's going to drink it. It's a beautiful thing, but with pollution in it, it becomes worthless. And he's saying, don't be the righteous man who gives way to the wicked and pollutes your life with things that are going to destroy who you are, your testimony, and your spiritual well-being. So, we're talking about this art, and I think it is an art, of taking everyday happenings, objects, whatever, gleaning spiritual truth from them. And I think this is actually part of seeking God. It's part of seeing God in the everyday part of our life. And I call it an art because it's something that can be developed, I think. It's not necessarily a list of rules or steps that make things work. It's more you think like this, and the more it happens to you, you begin to think more like this. And I don't know exactly how or why that works, but the point is I want you to kind of stir into your thoughts with several ways of thinking, several illustrations that will help you get the idea. So if I asked you right now, is there something you've seen out there in the world, some happening, that has revealed to you, you saw it and you went, you know, that reminds me of a spiritual reality. Maybe there's a Bible verse attached to it. Now, I've asked a couple of our elders to pop something out to me. I told them to make this right before the service, so I'm catching them a little off guard. But actually, I have Ron's on my phone because he's out. If he's out in the foyer, tell him to come in here and just share it. so while he's coming in, John, did you have something? Oh, hold on a minute. Hold on, sorry. Just for the sake of those who are listening in another way, I want them to be able to hear what we have to say. So,
Just even as I was driving home today, I was thinking about the fact that, okay, there's... when I'm driving, my commute, I go up all the way to Fort Lauderdale, about commercial and federal, and that drive on a daily basis can be fairly trying, depending on what's happening out there that day. Today was no exception. And so as I was driving home, I realized, though, there's all sorts of spiritual applications to it. I had an empty tank when I left work to come back home, so I have to stop and get gas. If I don't fill my car up with the proper fuel, I don't get home. If I don't know the direction, I've driven it thousands of times, but if I don't have a map or if I don't have the route in mind, I don't have a destination in mind, I don't make it home. If I drive off the road instead of staying on the straight and narrow, I don't make it home. If I run into other people out there in my anger and rage, I don't make it home. And so, it's analogous to our life. We have to have a destination in mind. We have to have the proper fuel to make us get there. We have to stay on the correct road. If we veer off that road, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. And if we let the disturbances that are out there, if we collide with those things and let those wreck us, we will not make it to our destination as well.
Good. Thank you. Good. Ron's behind you. Grab the mic, Ron. Thank you, John.
Did you put a picture up?
What picture?
Oh, I sent you a picture.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. If you follow me on Instagram or Facebook, you notice I'm absolutely nuts for sunsets and sunrises. Mostly sunsets because I'm sleeping during sunrise most of the time. But I take a lot of pictures of them. Lisa and I will sit outside in the front yard most evenings and just watch it go down and just enjoy it and love the show. I call it the show because God paints a beautiful picture twice a day, and we're usually too busy or tired to see it. And So when Pastor asked me about this, I sent him a picture that I put scripture on, and I have to read it. It says, "The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonder. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy." That's Psalm 65:8. And it just occurs to me that the whole world loves sunsets. You know, in the Keys, there's a park where people line up just to watch it go down. And I live near Barrett Community College, and people line up on the west side of the campus and watch that sun go down. They're in awe of it. They don't necessarily know who they're in awe of, but God gets the praise for his beautiful sunsets and sunrises. And I often think, when he designed these, he knew we were going to love these things. You know, he knew that that was really going to be something that, we would appreciate about him. So I just, every time I see a sunset, I think of God.
Amen. Good. Zach?
All the elders are back row Baptists today,
yeah,
apparently.
With you guys.
Well, you guys know I'm a young dad. I have young kids. That's why I wasn't in the room a minute ago. I was helping one of my kids out in the hallway. But I have this thought quite often, but particularly today, right before Pastor texted, I'm rocking Elijah to sleep, and he's rather large, but I can still hold him. He's getting to the age where I won't be able to soon, but I can. So as I'm holding him, this one phrase comes into my head. He will hold me fast. Hmm. We sing that song here at New Life, but God will hold me sure and tight. And I think about my love for my son, how much I care for my son, but God's love, not only is it more present and more faithful than mine, it's constant. John 10, he holds God's people. God's hands are around us. And just that, it was a good reminder, just God's faithful love to hold us tight.
Amen. That's good, good. I asked Judy if she had anything. Do you want to share? I'm going to get this all. In fact, Dale, would you just hang on to this and take it around to whoever I point to give it to Judy first, and then just hang out there with her.
Well, when Pastor asked me today, I thought of something that just happened Monday night. Pete and I like to look at the stars at night, and Monday night we were sitting out there, and we looked up, and we saw the constellation Orion up in the sky, and Pete commented, he says, "You know, Orion's a little further west than it usually is, than it has been lately. And I was thinking to myself, God is such a God of order and design and beauty, and there's purpose. It's not just random happenstance. There's order to it. And that's comforting.
Absolutely. Thank you. In that instance, she was actually looking at something that caused her to think in terms of the glory of God, which is exactly what Scripture says. But when we look up into the sky, we need to be able to see that. Now I'm going to ask some of you, anybody else just burning with one real quick? You want to just share? You just thought of it? You know, you remembered it? Yeah, Lisa?
Well, mine's not kind of exactly on the same wavelength, but this is what came to mind, is that when I read, say, a book and I see the word nature, I've been working on this for the past year or so, in my mind jumps to the word creation as opposed to nature. And I'm trying to switch my thinking, instead of using the word nature, using creation. And it just makes me think, it's not just nature, it's not just something out there, it's God's creation. Whether it's a bird or an animal or, you know, the seas, the sun, the trees, whatever it is I'm reading about, it's not just nature. It's God's creation.
Amen. That's good. And that is right in line, because you're using something you're seeing as an illustration to cause you to think about spiritual things. Set your mind on spiritual things by seeing life as creation and not just the natural order. Anybody else? Yeah, Vonda?
Whenever the earth is just about covering the moon or vice versa, there's just a little sliver of the moon, I'll get a phone call from one of my children, and they'll say, "Did you see the moon, Mom? It's God's thumbnail." And so please go out and look at it, Mom. It's God's thumbnail. So it's nice to know that some of those little things you teach them, they still remember.
That's good. That's good. You'll never see the partial moon the same again. Somebody else? It's good. Miss Allen? Yeah, Ed?
This past weekend, I went up north to Orlando area with my brother, who lost his son about 5 years ago. So whenever I think about life, I think about the brevity of life. He was only 15 years old, and I mean, he was a church kid. He went to church every Sunday. On the way to school, he got hit by a car, thrown in the air, and died. So whenever I think of a death, anybody's death, I think of the brevity of life is so short. And that he preached a message, and that's what he preached on, the brevity of life, how short it is. And we're not sure of tomorrow, but so take care of today.
Good. So using an illustration of a real tragic situation to cause you not just to lament it, but to actually get a benefit from it. I mean, I think if we all thought about it just a minute, y'all, for those of you who are sports fans, and you think about the death of Kobe Bryant last week, there's no way that doesn't cause a Christian to start thinking about spiritual things. I mean, everything from the brevity of life, how short it can be, unexpected, you never know when things are going to change, to thoughts about fame and how we see people, and it's just rife with illustration. Sometimes it's even circumstances in our life. I've shared this before, but those of you who didn't hear it, I was coming back from Mom and Dad's one time on the highway, many years ago actually, and Janine and I were driving, and my parents were driving behind us in another car, and we came up on a state patrol officer who was riding also on I-95, and he was going right at 55 miles an hour. I mean, right at 55, right at the speed limit. And I was like, okay, I guess this is going to be good accountability. We'll just kind of ride behind the police officer. Well, the state patrol slowed down just a little bit. I was right behind him. He slowed down, and he went down to like 53. I was like, ugh. Now what do I do? I mean, if I go around him, you know, what's he doing, you know? So I was like, after a while, I got tired of it, and I said, all right, I'm just going to ease around him, and I, you know, had to go a little faster to get around him and to keep going. And as soon as I got past him, his lights came on. Oh. I was like, ah, oh, can't believe this guy. So I pull over, you know, and he pulls in behind me. And that was back in the day when you could get out of your car. If I did what I did today, I might not be here. But I got out of my car. I was mad. I was just like, I can't believe this. So I got out of my car, and he met me halfway. I said, officer, what's up? I mean, you were in front of me. You slowed down. You made me go around you. I mean, I didn't really know what to do. And he just stood there and looked at me. And I was mad. And I kind of let him know. And he just looked at me and he said, sir, why do you think I'm pulling you over? I said, well, for speeding. He said, no, I saw you behind me. One of your headlights is out. I wanted you to go around me so I could tell you so you could get it fixed. I was so embarrassed. My parents were in the back watching all my hand motions and thinking, he's going to jail. He's going to jail. So I got to thinking about that. And God taught me some stuff. He set my mind in some spiritual directions, and it was to me an illustration of when I assumed judgment when he was trying to help me. And I think sometimes that time in my life, and I think we all probably do this at times, when we're being corrected or we're being, you know, guided or we're being shown something that needs to, we feel judgment. When God, in his grace, is trying to help us, and we make the mistake of thinking, I'm being judged, when in reality, he's helping us. Or God may be correcting me to help me, but at the time, it feels like judgment. And I need to be quick to think rather than to rush to that judgment. So that's just something to help me after that little experience. In Proverbs 25:8 came to me on that. It says, do not go hastily to argue your case. Be quick to hear, slow to speak and quick to hear. And slow to anger, James 1:19. So, encouraging to us, even in a rebuke, is God's grace when I'm not doing well. And that's the point there, is that even when it's a corrective thing that we get an illustration in the world and in our lives, it's God helping us, and I can still learn something even in the midst of being rebuked or being corrected, and sometimes these illustrations help with that. Warnings. Sometimes the illustration is a warning. Sometimes it's your illustration it's not the illustration that's infallible, but it's the scripture that it reminds you of. And of course, no illustration is perfect. You can stretch things all over the place. And you wouldn't even say necessarily that this happened for this reason. You know, maybe that's obvious in some cases, but you don't always know that. But if you gain some spiritual insight from it, you benefit from it. So let me give you a few questions to ask when you're thinking about illustrations. I'm going to fire these off pretty quick. Number one, is there something God wants to teach me here in what I'm observing? Is there a biblical passage that is being impressed upon me here? Am I being disciplined? Is God encouraging me with this observation? Am I being warned? Is there something of beauty to behold? I notice a lot of our illustrations are things that we see that are beautiful, and that's absolutely true. Our family's been going out to, as you know, some of you know, out to Vista View Park. We call it Mount Trashmore, out at Griffin and I-75. And we've just discovered this place. It's been out there for years. And we go out there and see the sunset. We told the Coles about it. Now we go out there, and there's the Coles, you know, out there. I can almost bet you've been there since your friends have come. But what's amazing about that place is that it's out there, and it's been out there for years, and we never took advantage of it. And now we do, and we get the benefit of it. How much is there in God's grace, his truth, his promises that have been there all the time, and we just didn't see it or didn't take advantage of it, and now we do. And in that sense, I set my mind on the things above. So, illustrations in life. Who sees them? Those who are looking for them, because they're everywhere. They're really everywhere. When Glory was younger, she was enamored with yellow cars. And she would see yellow cars everywhere. She said, Dad, there's a yellow car. And if you saw a yellow Hummer, that was like extra points. I mean, it was like so exciting. So we would look, you know, what was amazing to me is how many yellow cars there were. I had never seen yellow cars before, and now we're seeing them everywhere. Because why? We're looking for them. Because we're looking for them, we see them. And so once I looking, I became more sensitive to it. And that's true of lost people, handicapped people, law enforcement. Anything else you're looking for to notice, in my world as a chaplain for the fire department, I'm very sensitive to seeing law enforcement and fire department people in a restaurant. I'll go up to them a lot of times and thank them and give them my card and let them know that I, you know, I'm here for them or whatever. But why is that? Because I'm actually looking for them. And I think it's the same with our illustrations in life. Yeah, Alan?
I have one this afternoon. I'm going to do a 5K run this Saturday.
Why?
On a different day, I want to win my 10K
That's a great illustration, a direct, actually, application of Scripture. You know, am I gonna work out, or am I gonna, you know, go and worship God and work on my spiritual life? And you got Scripture that speaks directly to that point. And good for you, Alan. Glad you're here. let me give you one more in my life, and then I want to ask you all to share. Do one. I've shared again with this before because it's precious to me. I shared one about glory, now I'm going to share one about grace. When I was at Georgia Tech, down in the student center, this guy would come every year and set up his little display for paintings, and you could buy his paintings. He would do a painting in front of you, and then he would give it to you if you wanted it, or if you could even make a request. And he had an unusual way of painting. He had a little board, and he would slap paint over it, different colors on top of colors, and then he would take a metal knife, and he would paint with the knife the colors that were layered there on the board. It started off black and turned into this beautiful red sunset with trees, and I was just captivated by this guy's talent. And I would just watch him, and I bought one. You know, it was neat. And as I was watching him work, I noticed that he always, at the end, would put in three birds, like seagulls, three birds somewhere on the thing. And then I started looking around and said, all of them have three birds. So I said, hey, I got to ask you, why do you have three birds on all of your paintings? And he said, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I went, that's really cool. So you're a believer. Yes. And he was a Christian, and we had a good time talking. Well, I always remembered that, and so when Grace was born, I started this thing. Whenever we saw three birds, I'd say, hey, Grace, that reminds me of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, after I did that, she started noticing them everywhere. In fact, now that I've said that, I guarantee you somebody is going to come up to me and say, yeah, I mean, I saw three birds. Now, I don't think there's anything. You could see four birds. You could see five birds. I don't know. Maybe there's something about three birds. But the bottom line is, when you see three birds, for us and our family, that was just a way for us to remind ourselves of the nature of God and to talk about something spiritual. Dad, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? And then we start talking about something related to the Lord or whatever. Maybe we don't. But it helps us set our minds on things literally above when it has to do with a bird. So, don't miss the spiritual lessons. Grab onto it. Now, I gave you a piece of paper. Everybody has a piece of paper, and there's a pen in the seat pocket in front of you. I'm going to share with you, I'm going to tell you an object that most of you are probably aware of. I'm going to share with you, I'm going to name the object, and then I would like for you to take just a minute and to write down a positive illustration and a negative illustration. In other words, the positive could be something that is, you know, encouraging or uplifting in some way, or, you know, motivating. The negative could be a warning. It could be some illustration of something that in God's Word that you would find that would be instructive in a negative sense. So here's the object. You ready? How many of you have seen the guitar-shaped hotel in Hollywood? Does everybody know what I'm talking about? The guitar-shaped hotel. I got a picture of it on the screen. There it is. An amazing piece of architecture that can be seen from pretty much anywhere in Broward County. And now the big blast of light that goes up, that's the guitar neck that, you know, I look out my door every night and see it. Now, what I don't want you to put on there is whether you like it or not. Okay? This is not for you to write down your critique of the fact that it's there and what it is and all of that. Unless it works into an illustration, then you can do that. But let's not just have commentary on whether or not we like the guitar or not. But think for a moment. We're just going to be quiet for a little bit. Think about what scripture, what spiritual principle, what spiritual reality, what thing about God, what command, what something that would set your mind on spiritual things when you look at that guitar, either in the daytime Whereas at night when it's all lit up and it's doing its dancing and the colors and all the things that it does. So let's just take a little minute, and we'll take a few minutes for you to write that down, or at least get the idea started. Okay, we probably have enough for to hear a few testimonies. I'd like to start with somebody in the youth group. Who in the youth group would tell us what, whether either positive or negative, whichever one you want to share. Who wants to share from the youth group? Matt? Nice and loud. Everybody can hear. Oh, get the mic over there. Who's got the mic? It's okay. Give it to Matt.
Matt? When looking at this building, it just kind of reminded me of like how a lot of people are working together to build that building. And if they wouldn't have followed the instructions, they would have not gotten a cool structure like that. If they wouldn't have done what the architect told them to do, they wouldn't have got it. If they wouldn't have listened to the engineers and the architect, they wouldn't have got a cool building.
Especially on
or
one like
Or they would
like
have
that,
gotten the shape of it, but it would fall over, you know? So, it's kind of...
Great. So what's your spiritual illustration with that?
So, if we don't follow what God says, we're not going to get anywhere. We're just floating along in life, going along with the flow. If we don't intentionally follow the instructions of the Bible, what God's word to us, we aren't going to get anywhere in life at all. We're not going to be able to do work for God if we're not following Him. So,
what do you think? Amen. It's good, right? That's good. Yeah. All right. So, how about another youth? Let's get one more youth. Any more youth? Come on, guys. Give me one more. Grace, Gloria, you want to do it? Okay. I kind of saw it in her eyes. Excuse me.
All right. So I went with more of the negative illustration. So I said that the guitar is a reminder of how sin is enticing. It draws us to stare and be captivated, and it masks as a good thing when it can ruin your life, like how a cool LED lit up guitar is really a casino, which can draw you in and, well, get rid of all your money, but it'll pull you into sin, which it's not the way it looks originally.
Excellent, excellent. Y'all agree with that? And that's exactly right. In fact, amen. Sin is enticing. It's beautiful. But inside, we know kind of what goes on over there. And a lot of people, there's a lot of, I don't know all that goes on in there, but I know enough to know that it's not all good. All right? How about somebody else? Yes, ma'am.
So my sister-in-law and I one day.
Go ahead. Hey, it's good.
My sister-in-law and I one day got really lost. And we didn't know where we were. And I told her, oh, look for the guitar. And we found our way home by following the guitar. It led us back to where we needed to be. So the illustration is, I mean, you look to God, and He's going to lead you home every time.
That's good. Excellent.
Keep on His path.
Thank you. Excellent. Yeah, Alan? Yeah, we want to get these on the recording. So.
I thought it was an amazing piece of architecture and ingenuity and creativity by somebody woke up one day and said, I think I'll make the biggest hotel in Florida look like a guitar. And it's something to look at. And one of these days I might just drive over there and just look at it. I haven't really been up close. But I promise you, people won't go out every single night on Mount Trashmore to wait till they turn on the lights at the guitar. They'll always be looking that way when the sun sets. Even though it's an amazing thing that a man has developed or a team has developed, it's not God's creation. It's creation that was given to us by God, or given to those guys by God, obviously. But you see the guitar once, and that's good enough, but you'll be looking for a sunset every evening.
That's excellent. That's great. Very good. Thank you. Julian?
So I had a few, but I'll piggyback off Alan's about the engineering of it, because it didn't take one person to design this, and it didn't take just one lifetime. It was thousands of years of learning from past attempts at engineering, at building structures. And this is a point where we can be at today, and that's how far we can get as men. But that reminds me, and I give thanks to God for the gifts to engineers and architects, but it also highlights we're still limited, and God is so much more superior and so much more wise and more intelligent that he designed everything else around that building that's his creation.
And the materials that it's made out of.
And the materials that it's made out of. That's right.
That's great. So what you guys are doing is you're using the creative expertise of God's creation in humans. They're reflections of his great creativity, which is all much better. And yet that thing can be an illustration for us. Even though we may not like all that goes on in there, we can still, it's kind of like a big mega yacht. You know, my dad looks at a mega yacht and he says, poetry. But he also will be quick to say, that is a reflection of the image of what God can do through a human being that he gave that ability to create. Very good. Thank you. Yeah, Ron? Oh, well, we got one right here, so then we'll go back to Ron. Garrett?
Yeah, I'll just take a slightly different perspective on it, and just wanted to point out that, you know, it points out the creativity of the mind of man, which shows that we're created unique in the image of God and not like animals. You know, animals can't create such things. It shows that we're unique and set apart from all creation. You know, we are created unique in the image of God.
That's right. The special creation of humans is reflected in things like that. You see that and go, that sets us apart. And ultimately, Jesus died for those he set apart. So that's good. All right, Ron, jump back there.
Before I go to, can I say something quick?
Yeah.
Now, my spiritual illustration for this hymn. Now, I admire how the architects did what they do, how people come together to do what they did. But it reminded me of Babylon. Hmm. How the peoples came together to build Babylon, probably with the mindset to build their way to heaven. And God come down to see what was going on. And how he had to pretty much shake it up a little bit in our turn, scatter the peoples.
Yeah.
They had good illustration, maybe a good mindset, but the wrong motor behind it. That's good, but it's not giving God any glory.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what reminds me of how the people come together to build Babylon. They all came on one accord and did that. They came on one accord and did that. So we just think about it in the spiritual matter, you know.
Yeah, so you can go, you can see it in warnings or you can see it in blessing.
Amen.
Yeah, good. Excellent. Babylon. Ron, now we'll get to Ron. He's patiently waiting back there.
Sorry, sir.
And then we'll go to Scott after that. He's in the far back there, Dale. Go ahead.
I couldn't help when I look at this fantastic hotel that they've got over here. Back in 1966, when I graduated from University of Florida, we moved to Hollywood, and I was a teacher at MacArthur. And there were 6 Indians on my football team. I used to take them home right where that thing is sitting. Some of them got out of the car in front of a chicky, and some of them got out of a car in front of houses that were so old and dilapidated, it was unbelievable. And I think of where they were then and where they are now. Matter of fact, one of them, Moses Osceola, is a Baptist minister for the tribe. And it's just amazing what has transpired in those last 50 years. And the Indian tribe is doing very well in South Florida. And Moses would tell you that it was God.
Okay. Thank you. Scott?
It's for the recording. I don't need it.
Yeah.
I thought of 2 things, one positive, one negative. I'll go with the negative first. And as Dale said, I instantly went to Babylon. In Genesis 11, they said, let us make a name for ourselves. And I see that as this man making a name for himself in South Florida that the world will know. But the reality of it, looking at from an engineering standpoint, and I'm a welder, so metallurgy's big on me, and how metals work together to to create additional strength if it's done right and if it's engineered right. And that brought me to Colossians 1, where it says, He is before all things and holds all things together. Mm. It is Christ that holds that together in the same way that He holds us together. And so it drove me to Scripture on
Good.
Both sides.
Excellent. Thank you. Lisa, we got room for about two more.
I immediately thought of, I had to look it up in my concordance, this scripture from Psalm 103, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. And I think when I look up at night and I see those beams shooting up, how far do they go? They don't even go anywhere near how big and how grand my God is.
Thank you. One more. Is somebody over here? Did they have their hand up? Frank?
Well, mine was like Glory's as they were building it, and I was rustled about it, riding with Thomas. And look at that thing. That thing is the biggest monstrosity. It's ugly. And then one day, it took shape, and look at that black guitar up there. It was eerily very like it, and I started to like the guitar. And the scripture that came to mind is what they meant for evil, you know, God is used for good. I see that guitar, and I'm like, I'm going to go home and play my guitar. We're going to write some spiritual songs tonight.
That's good. I think there was one more back here. We'll let him go. Caleb? All right, Caleb. You'll be the last one. I'm enjoying this. Thank you all for sharing.
So I feel like wherever you are, like Broward County, we can always kind of look and see the guitar, obviously, and that should like remind us to always look to Jesus for all of our issues and problems and stuff. So I guess it's positive. So
thank you. In fact, one of the things I thought, Caleb, was along those lines, is that the guitar is able to be seen from anywhere, and the light of God through us can be seen from anywhere if we're shining that light. And that thing is bright. I mean, you can see it. Even offshore, we can see it. So thank you for that. And, you know, to the point about Ron with the tribe, what if we saw that thing wherever we are and it just prompted us to pray for the tribe, you know? To pray for the people that live over there. You know, they've come a long way, as Ron said, but with all that wealth has come a lot of problems. And I have firefighter friends that work for the tribe that it's very sad, some of the things that happen in their community because of their wealth. So let's pray for the tribe, and let's pray for the churches that are over there. We have a Baptist church that's right over there that's ministering to the tribe. Let's just use it as a chance to pray for them and these people that have this thing in their community that really is a phenomenon. Well, thank you so much. That's great. Thank you for sharing. These are just illustrations of setting your mind on things above. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time to reflect, to hear the different approaches, the different ways you've made even us in this room, how we see something like this. Father, we pray that you would help us to see you, to watch for the illustrations that warn us or that thrill us or show us who you are or remind us of a truth that you have taught us in your word. And I just pray that you would keep us going as we seek to have you more in the forefront of our thinking in your word and building this art of looking around us and protecting us from evil and evil thoughts by replacing them and being preoccupied with heavenly things. So we look forward to that in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen.